Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, a special emergency podcast following Apple's press conference on Friday. Joining me are Chris Smith, Adam Bunker, and Luke Peters. Duncan's ill. What's up with him? He's dying, isn't he?
He's not dying. He's a little bit unwell. Don't scare the good people of the
dying
podcast.
Dying swan, I heard. Okay. Well, if you missed the press conference, here's how it began.
Hey, I've got an idea. Let's all sing this song.
It goes, if you don't want an iPhone 4,
don't buy it.
If you bought one and you don't like it,
bring it back.
If you don't want an iPhone 4,
don't buy it.
If you bought one and you don't like
it, bring it back.
Everybody don't want an iPhone 4,
don't buy it.
Jonathan Mann's iPhone antenna song. I'm really torn between whether this is genius or arrogance on Apple's part.
It's annoying.
Well, I think he summed it up. You know, if you don't want it, then don't buy it. If you don't like it, then take it back.
You can say that about anything, though,
it was lightening the tone very early on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was kind of a, right, this is not going to be a seriously, really over-the-top reaction to this. Like, you know, we've taken this in our stride and, you know, we kind of think it's a little bit funny, perhaps.
And you're the ones that are overblowing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Not us.
Yeah, because we think it's kind of humorous.
Yes, it did.
It's tickled us, so we're going to have this emergency multi-million pound press conference to tell you.
And we're going to drop several million dollars on free cases. But here's a song to lighten the mood. Look, first up, before we get stuck in on the press conference, the 4.01 update to the iOS, which, as it happens, is the same antenna algorithm as 4.0. We had a few people messaging us saying, why are you talking about 4.01? 4.0 is going to come out and solve all this. It uses exactly the same. 4.01 uses the same antenna algorithm, the new thing, as 4.0 will. So let's put that one to bed. When we tested it on Friday, we saw two things. The death grip still had the same real terms effect. So your signal strength, whatever the bars were showing, it dropped in exactly the same way. And as Duncan observed, the reception pretty much went from being 4 bars all the time to 2 bars all the time. That was the main effect.
So it was a graphical update, essentially.
Well, now we know why. Because the guys at Anantech have done the math.
They've done their own research. Let's qualify this.
Yeah. So what they've done is they measured the signal strength and plotted it for all the different bar strengths, okay, on the old iPhone and the new iPhone OS. And what they found was that on the old system, 5 bars covered almost 2/3 of the sort of signal strength spectrum. So if 0 is no signal strength, 100 is top signal strength, 60% of that would be covered by bar 5, which is why your iPhone almost permanently showed 5-bar reception. And the bar 4 covered the next 20% down, and bars 1 to 3 covered only the first 20%. So, pretty much all the time, your iPhone would display bar either 4 or 5 signal strength. Now, there's nothing illegal about that.
But this was their dodgy maths, right?
Yeah. This was, they said,
this was their dodgy maths.
This was their dodgy maths.
But the thing is, they claimed that it was dodgy maths. I don't think for a second that it was dodgy maths.
They must have known this the entire time.
They must have known this. And also, it's an ancient mobile phone trick. Don't think that Apple are somehow sinister in this. All mobile phone manufacturers have done this. They do it with battery meters as well.
Yep.
Basically, if you look at your phone and it's showing 100% battery, 5-bar signal, you're happy. And that's why phone manufacturers do it, because then you go, my phone's got great battery life and it's got great signal strength.
But are we supposed to think that the makers behind the iPad, the iPod, everything are stupid enough to overlook something as elementary as this? And, oh, we made a little mistake. I'm sorry. Get the hell out of my face with that shit.
They're not stupid, because this worked great for them, because it showed, you know, the iPhone had great signal strength all the time. It only sort of turned around and bit them when this death grip issue came up, because the first 3 bars covered such a little amount of signal strength. What you could do was actually go from the bottom of the 5 bars, if you imagine, full 5-bar signal strength, but actually right at the bottom of that spectrum. With the death grip, there was enough signal drop-off to go from 5 bars down to 0, because those first 4 bars covered so little of the signal strength.
So it showed up there.
It basically showed up what they've been doing. So what they've done is they've taken all 5 bars and roughly spaced them equally now. Although the fifth bar, from according to Anatech, still covers more. Still covers.
I have to say that on my iPhone, I do get two bars now.
Yeah,
it's about two bars all the time.
And if you look, two bars under the new signal strength regime, you could have been on four bars under the old one.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. Yeah. Real world test, what show.
But they've changed that, but not really mentioned the fact that two bars isn't great to have as a standard signal if you've got a five bar system or a four bar system. They've not actually said, two bars isn't very good.
But is that their fault though? Is that their fault, or is it the operator that you're working on?
Yeah, I mean, some of this is down to the network signal strength. But one last thing that they've done is the what constitutes one bar signal strength. They've brought that even lower down. So even weaker signal that previously would have been zero bars will now show up as one bars. So it's now very difficult to go from three to even two bars signal down to zero with the death grip.
So you'll always have reception.
So you'll always show reception even if you've got the death grip going on, unless you're in, the middle of the countryside.
I don't think there's ever been such an obvious case of papering over the cracks.
Totally.
In anything that I've ever seen.
You're going to have another update soon where they'll just change it to a one giant bar system. So you just have one bar the entire time.
On or off.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, it's difficult to describe all this, but Anantech have really broken this down. So go and have a look at those guys, because they've put in the hard work on this, and we're just
It's fair play. I mean, if that's correct, then that's some pretty startling figures.
The other nice thing they've done, we knew this as well, is they've changed the shape of the bars when they show up. So I'll show you guys. Here's the old signal strength, and you'll see that. But one bar is quite tiny, and bar five is probably about five times the size of it, which is
same girth, just
kind
longer
of
length.
What you'd go for. Mm. Under the new regime, bar one is about half the size of bar five. It's suddenly much bigger.
It's just psychology, isn't it?
So when
it's
you look at bar, one bar signal, trick. It's quite a tall bar now, and you think, oh.
But I don't think anyone is expecting anything less. Everyone knew, you can't change piece of hardware just with a software update. Yeah. You can, I'm not going to use the word trick because that would be unprofessional, but you can't show people that you can't change something hard that's built into a device.
Exactly. But why did Apple dress up? Why did Apple say, oh, we've changed the shape of the bus to make it clearer? Yep. Because you haven't. Why you've done it.
We can't really use trick because that's kind of perhaps unprofessional. What about barefaced lie? Could that be unprofessional?
I don't,
too?
It's
all comments on this are their
none
own.
Of, yeah, none of what Apple is doing is in any way, they've been open about it, so, credit to them for that. And there's nothing, they're not doing anything that no other phone manufacturer would do. It's just when they say, it's almost like doublespeak. We're making this clearer. No, you're not. You're making it look that one bar is better than it really is.
They're being open because they've been forced to be open about it, and that's the thing. I mean, and it's kind of great that it is Apple, because there's a lot of people that just don't like it.
But they're only human.
They are. All right, we've got that off our chest. So, the press conference. Steve Jobs did admit there was a problem.
He did. Unprecedented.
He used the word. Hmm. But it was kind of heavily qualified.
But everyone's got a problem with their phones.
Well, this is it. So in 30 seconds, this, in a nutshell, is the Steve Jobs defense.
We think there is a problem, but we think it's affecting a small percentage of users. And we think some of that problem is inherent in most every smartphone. But having said this, we care about every user. And we're not going to stop until every one of those is happy. But I think it's important to understand the scope of this problem, because what the data says leads you to the conclusion that this has been blown so out of proportion that it's incredible.
Okay, so it's Apple the victim here.
Well, blown out of all proportion. Well, cynical person Simon says that you created this in the first place.
Mm.
You created this proportion of, blowing everything out of all magnitude when you created these products that were the best, that worked perfectly, that you were buying into something that was nothing like anything else, and you expect it to work every single time, and you pay premium price for it. So when it goes wrong, you have to prepare to take the flak and sometimes admit and hold your hands up and say that you're wrong, and which they're doing. That's fair enough. But I think what they did next personally, I thought was just a bit below the belt. They brought in other manufacturers, quite clearly, a select amount of manufacturers, I would say. They didn't take in any Windows phones, I don't think.
They did, actually. Yeah, they had the Samsung Omnia 2.
Oh, I beg your pardon. So, but, you know, to bring in sort of Samsung, HTC and BlackBerry into the mix and to a watching world... Mm. Display what, how what bad their yeah. phones
okay,
were.
Okay, so if you didn't see the press conference, what they did, they had three videos. One of a BlackBerry Bold 9700, and they showed a desk grip on that. It went from 5 bars down to 1. HTC Droid Eris, same thing, 4 bars down to 0. Samsung Omnia 2, 4 bars down to 1. And what they were saying is, yeah, there's a problem. But you know what? It's a problem that affects all smartphones. But if you watch those videos, and if you watch all the other videos on YouTube, the death grips, as they are called... on these phones are in places generally where you're not naturally going to be holding the phone. A lot of them, you have to cup the top of the phone or cup the bottom of the phone or really grip the phone. When they showed it, they kind of showed a natural phone position. Then they went, now look what happens when we use its vulnerable grip. And they were practically squeezing the phone. That is not what you have to do with the iPhone 4.
And they were talking about... He mentioned the word data about 10 times in that. He didn't show a single speck of data to back up what he was saying at all.
Well, there were some figures, okay. For me, okay, in a kind of a, let's look at this as a mathematical breakdown, they didn't stack up. Jobs said the rate of return of the iPhone 4 was a third of that of the 3GS. Brilliant, okay. So what he's saying is actually people are much happier with the iPhone 4 than the 3GS. But the iPhone 4, it's only just come out. The people who've got it have queued for this phone. Yeah. You can't buy the phone at the moment. There's a definite incentive to hang on to this phone. It is, as opposed to the 3GS, where, you know, it's been out for months and months and months. People are buying it. They don't like it. I'll take it back. Not if you've just bought an iPhone 4. Not if you're a dedicated fan who queued up for it and has got it and other people can't get it. You're not going to be sending it back.
Exactly. And the real question is how much, you know, is there a dent now for people who were thinking about buying an iPhone? Which I think that's a very real case. I've spoken to a lot of people who don't really care that much about technology, but they say, oh, that's the new iPhone 4. That doesn't work very well, does it? These are people that I know genuinely don't give a toss about technology, but they know that there's an association now with Apple have made a product that doesn't work, and is that going to taint their future sort of like thinking of whether they're going to buy into an Apple product?
I mean, they might not be gadget fans, but they're potential buyers, and the iPhone has crossed into the mainstream so much now that these are people who would be buying the iPhone.
But this is what Apple have created. They've created, and fair play, what they do brilliantly is take technology that's existed for a while and they make it usable for anyone, and that's amazing. But you've got to obviously take that with, you know, if something goes wrong, then you're going to get those people, the mainstream, understanding exactly what's wrong with your brand.
I always feel we kind of need to put this in context. The iPhone 4 is a great phone. It's an amazing piece of design. It does wonderful things. The screen is awesome. It's just this. It's kind of a small problem, like Steve Jobs says, but it's their response. You know, it's you kind of hit a brick wall. Again, on the figures, they trotted out the drop call rates, and what they said was, okay, let's hold our hands up. The iPhone 4, it does actually drop more calls than the 3GS. So we're like, okay, we're getting onto something. We've got some honesty here. So what he then says is, but the iPhone 4 drops one call per 100 more than the 3GS. Okay. Now, the implication he was saying is that that's such a tiny difference that actually it's, you know, statistically insignificant or whatever. But think about it. That means that every 100 times you make a call, it's going to drop that call one time more than the 3GS. Now, if you say, okay, well, what he didn't reveal was how many calls the 3GS drops. Because if it's half a call per 100, if the iPhone 4 drops one more call per 100, that's three times as many drop calls you're going to get with the iPhone 4. There was no baseline to compare it to. So the statistic was meaningless, but it sounded, and that's what Jobs wanted to convey, it sounded like, oh, there's, you know, course, it's no big deal.
It was a complete exercise in PR. Sorry, Chris, go on.
No, I was just going to say, that was absolute genius on their part. You know what I mean? No one spins it like they do, and it was Alistair Campbell-esque.
It was.
Even on the lowest case as well, even if it is one call out of every 100 calls that phone drops, if you've got a phone for 2 years, you're going to make a lot of calls. That's like
that's going to pitch
a real amount of calls that you've dropped.
I just don't get drop calls.
No, me either.
They're not a phenomenon. So one per 100 to me, and that's one per 100 on top of whatever the 3GS does, is bad.
And why aren't they saying, like, they're saying for the customers, we're not going to stop until we make everyone happy. We'll stop dropping our phone calls then. Fix that problem.
I think from their point of view, you know, they needed to be as transparent as they felt that they could be and offer a solution, which was every iPhone 4 user is going to get a case, which is going to cost, I don't know how much is that that's going to cost them. Is that what, about I heard, 50 cents?
I heard something about along the lines of $40 million this was going to cost.
We don't know how much they're paying for these cases, but if they're buying in third party stuff, there's no way.
Yeah, incidentally, they're not, we haven't seen the cases yet, but they're not bumper cases.
I think some will be, they just can't make enough quick enough. But they're admitting that there is a problem. We want to make the customers happy. The customer's number one. That's the one thing that they needed to do out of this is to reinforce their customer service, which really to offer a case and to offer a solution to admit the fact that there is a problem and offer a solution is great, but for me that just negates the months of them talking about what a brilliant design and the amount of man hours and billions of dollars of research that they've gone into making this indestructible, glorious looking product, and now you've got to put a really, cheap.
We touched on the offer there. So this is what Steve Jobs said.
So, a free case for every iPhone 4 user. Simple. And if you're still not happy, before or after you get a free case, as we've said, you can bring your iPhone 4 back undamaged within 30 days for a full refund. We've waived any restocking fees, anything. Full refund.
Okay, so there we go. So as the song said, really, if you don't want an iPhone 4, don't buy it. If you still don't like it, send it back.
He didn't clarify it, and I haven't seen otherwise, but does this mean that wherever you bought it from?
I'm guessing, yeah.
Okay.
O2, I know, were a bit inundated. Not necessarily by people wanting to send the phones back, but with people, you know, wanting to find out about the cases. And they were like, look, guys, this is a complete, you know, we didn't know about this. Don't ask us. Wait for the news to come from Apple.
Are they paying for it?
You know, so I know the manufacturers, networks were caught a bit on the hop by this.
There's going to be a lot of fallout for the next few months without any question, you know, is that forever now? If you buy an iPhone 4, will it come with a free case?
Well, yeah, that's what they were saying is we'll run this through till what was the end of September. Then we'll review it. If we come up with a better solution, we'll go with that. If not, maybe we'll carry on.
What's going to happen then at the end of September? Do we think?
I think they'll carry it on, or they'll have come up with some solution. But I can't, you know, short of changing the manufacturing process, I don't know what that solution could be.
Tearing up and starting again from scratch.
I know we mentioned it in the podcast on Friday, you know, that Microsoft say this is Apple's Vista moment, but it could well be the iPhone 4 could be, you know, that short-lived product that, right, we've made a mistake, let's nail the replacement now. You know, the iPhone 5 might be the answer to this. That could be coming out a bit sooner than perhaps we thought it would.
Luke's right. Like, I have never bought a phone and wanted to put a case on it. I'm not that precious about dropping stuff and all that kind of jazz anyway. But something like that, where it's clearly, you know, a stunning looking phone, you don't want to have to put a big bit of rubber around it to make it work.
It's a crying show.
Do you know what? For me, I kind of like walk around with this now, and it's me admitting that I've got a bad product.
All right, but Luke, you actually use the phone. Okay?
Yeah,
you've put a case on it, which solves the problem.
Yeah.
Is there really... We know, if you hold it in the wrong place, the signal can drop off. If you use this day-to-day usage, is there a problem?
With the case on or off?
With if you take the case off. Because that's what a lot of people are saying. Look, actually, yeah, I can make this happen, but for day-to-day usage,
my experience of it is that if I've got the case off and I am using it to access data, so using the internet, downloading apps, anything that requires data, then I do notice that everything slows down to a halt. And that's not me gripping it in a random way. That's me using it as I normally would, as I've used every single iPhone since 2007, which I've owned. I've definitely noticed something. I haven't had the severity of drop calls. I've had crunchy phone calls crunchy voices while I've held it in a certain way, or just normally, really. But I've noticed, and maybe I'm this small percentage that Mr. Jobs is talking about, but I have noticed a difference, and I don't use it without the rubber band.
We tested it the other day, didn't we, without the band.
Yeah, and there's
the results were kind of varied each time, but it was still a noticeable difference in data.
The problem for Apple now is that now this has become an issue. You're going to be looking out for, you know, so any drop call you get, any crackly signal, you're going to be, oh, it's the death, you know. Whereas on, you know, these things do happen on phones. You know, it is the inherent nature of phones that the signal isn't always great. But of course, everyone with an iPhone 4 is going to be, you know, thinking, is this the death grip? You know, every time they get a glitch in their phone.
Yeah, I mean, we can't ignore the fact that it is a stunning piece of kit.
Yeah,
it's a great phone. It's my just my own personal opinion. It's the best phone out there on the market. Mm. It's a real shame what's happened with this this antenna issue. But there's no detracting. It is a stunning piece of kit that works brilliantly. The new iOS 4 software is fantastic. It really is real vast improvement, I think. Mm. 3GS, what you got on there?
What it seems to be boiling down to is just the way Apple has handled this.
I think that's right. I think that's exactly right.
You're Steve Jobs, how would you have handled this? So this issue, I mean, this was within hours of this phone coming out. This was on YouTube. Yeah. It was on T3.com. You know, we knew there was a problem. So what would you have done?
If I was in his position with that much riding on not only kind of like your brand identity, but the absolute horrific dip in shares that they had, I'd have played it exactly like he did. Absolutely. If I was that big, if I had so much riding on it, I'd use all the powers of my PR persuasion.
Deflection.
Yeah. To do exactly what he did completely. The problem is that more people in the world give a monkeys about technology now. It's part of their lifestyle, and they're starting to see that they're not.
And this is
they're
the
not
blinded. This is the product that's made it part of their lifestyle,
and they're not blinded by science anymore. So it's becoming increasingly difficult to use smoke and mirrors to get past a technological problem that more people know and care about now.
I think, though, aside from our little community of avid tech fans and bloggers and journalists, then you're right that he played it in the right way, because smoke and mirrors is going to work with a lot of those people.
Yeah, the tone that came out of that press conference is, we care.
Yeah,
of course,
we really care. And we're hurt. Yeah. You know, we're hurting right now.
I think
Apple's going to make this better.
You explained it to me best this morning, Adam. The whole tone of that press conference, there was just enough in there to show a little bit of humility. And the rest was like, perhaps we were wrong, but this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. This is what we're doing. We care about you. We love you. And it was all kind of like...
It was all like Darren Brown kind of like speak. Just that, yes, there is a problem, there isn't a problem. You're wrong a little bit, right? It was all like kind of masked in his spiel.
At the end, Steve Jobs joked something along the lines of, oh, maybe we should be hiring more PR people than engineers. And it's like, well, are you trying to tell me you don't have an army of PR people who scripted every word you just uttered?
You come away from that conference just more confused than ever, almost. You just don't know what you've just seen.
From a customer satisfaction point of view, and from what they could have done, because I think a recall would just been, there's no way that would have happened. Yeah. They did the right thing. They did the right thing to offer. So I was surprised actually that they actually said, you can have a free case. That's going to stop the problem of this phone until we get it fixed. That's cool. I thought it was really interesting where they took a bunch of American journalists post the awards. They were ushered into the Apple HQ. Infinite Loop into like an area that no one's ever seen before outside. Some of the Apple employees have never seen it, and it was the testing facility. And they showed them that they do really test these products. And you know, it was obviously a bit of a kind of like a give and take. We're going to show you how much millions and billions of dollars we put and an effort we put into testing these products before they go out, so people will see that they do this. Just made me think, well, why the hell have you created a product that's got an issue, that's got a problem, that's got such a blatant problem?
Some of the reactions, the reactions from the other phone manufacturers were quite interesting. Nokia, we prioritise antenna performance over physical design if they're ever in conflict, which is a bit of a dig. RIM weren't very happy about being featured in as having a death grip problem their own. Apple's attempt to draw RIM into Apple's self-made debacle is unacceptable. Apple's claims about RIM products appear to be a deliberate attempt to distort the public's understanding of an antenna design issue and to deflect, it's a word we used, deflect attention from Apple's difficult situation.
Absolutely. Can you imagine being those people and listening to that press conference? And
you can see the steam.
How, like, the balls on him for even... I can't believe they even did that. Like, that's...
It's a low blow, isn't it? Just bring
that is
people
mean.
Well, it's what everyone else has done to Apple, so I guess they
felt...
But if they
could, you know, from their point of view, they're putting it into context. If there is a... issue in quotation marks with other phones that then they're not alone in this. I think it just goes back to, you know, the months that we've got a whole new case design which is built into the antenna, into the thing, and it's going to be great and it's going to improve calls and what it's actually done is it seems to have done quite
Apple's claim wasn't that this just looked great, it was the it's a huge stride
go
forward.
Go onto their website now and take a look at all the videos that
let's hear your reaction to T3.com. Chris, what sort of tweets have we been getting?
Yeah, Lesky, I think that's pronounced.
Or Leaky, perhaps.
Leaky, maybe. Apple making enemies left, right, and center.
Especially among phone manufacturers. Yeah, Luke, what else did we get?
Uzozdil says, I don't like using any type of case or skin with my phone, so this is not a fix for the problem.
Yeah, okay. Adam? Swoopium.
Swoopium said, did Mr. Jobs say they will ever fix this so-called issue? I want one, but not until this issue has been fixed.
No, he didn't, did he? I mean, he basically said, we'll
review
our engineers will work on this, but he was implying for the next iPhone, we'll try and work something out. There's not going to be a fix.
Perhaps that end of September deadline as well, it gives them a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah,
they've set that deadline.
Let it die down a bit.
They won't answer any more questions now until that point. There'll be no more furore coming from their end, denials, whatever. We'll review the situation on September the 30th. And I think that's the wisest thing they could possibly do at this time.
Okay.
It's just a shame. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, the people on our Twitter feed, our readers, our podcast listeners, this is kind of a big thing, but there is a massive demographic of people who just don't care. I've spoken to people who have asked me about it, and I've said, there's a big problem. Like, you hold it, and it, like, the data signal goes, and they go, I can get a case, can't I? But that's kind of not the point. That's a bit of a cheap fix. And I'm like, I don't care.
There are still hundreds of thousands of people still waiting for their iPhones.
Maybe Apple's played it right.
And Luke, have you been tempted for a second to stop using that phone?
No. Well, I've got my bumper.
Yeah,
I've got my bumper on it, and that works absolutely.
Maybe
fine.
That says it all.
If you look at a bigger picture, it's a shame that, you know, this happens with big corporations. As soon as they get to a certain level of, you know, happened to Microsoft.
Yeah,
They get too big, or not too big, but they get big enough that people there's just a backlash.
I think that's a great thing, though. It kind of, you don't want them being infallible forever. It kind of keeps these companies grounded, and it could just get out of hand if they were allowed to carry on.
It's no bad thing that Apple are being held to account. And, you know, long run, if they fix this, then they'll be stronger.
But they're still doing what they want to do at the end of the day.
Yeah, definitely.
And, okay.
For the benefit of us all.
For
the benefit of mankind. We will be back with a full podcast on Friday. We should give a quick mention to the T3 Awards, because there are only, 3 days left?
Yep,
get voting.
That's right.
To take us from the long list to the short list.
21st of July is your last chance to vote, and then the short list will go live on the 22nd. That's Thursday, the 22nd of July.
Yep. So each category at the moment has 10 potential winners. That's going to be narrowed down to 5 on Wednesday, and we'll also be announcing the winners of our iPad and various other.
Okay, so your favourite product could be about to be eliminated from the T3 Awards.
Yep, keep
only way you can stop that is to get voting, and you can win an iPad.
Yes, you can, and also,
which is a fine Apple product. Also, no issues.
Also, if you think that there's something we've missed out, I mean, we've mentioned this before, but please do get in touch and nominate your favourite tech.
Because still sneak something in.
Because last year the winner of the whole thing was a wild card entrant, the HTC Hero. So let's see if the iPhone 4 makes it in.
They could be a Goran Ivanisevic. Okay, well, that is it for this special emergency T3 podcast. Remember, you can find all the latest on T3.com. T3 is on the shelves, and we're on iTunes. Till Friday, then, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to a special T3 podcast.